Hello, welcome back to the Anime Corner, episode 2. We're going to be talking about My Dress Up Darling. My name is Slade. You can find me at all things at Slade Plays Games, except Instagram. That's Slade's Life. I'm joined again by Sky and Jaka. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
In this episode, we are going to be talking about My Dress Up Darling by Shinichi Fukuda. It's 12 episodes, subbed and dubbed. It was released on January 29th, 2022, and it's also getting a sequel. Guys, before we get started, what have we been watching lately?
Oh my gosh. I've been so excited about everything that we've been watching recently. Okay. My favorite right now is...
The name. I put on the spot. I can't remember.
It's such a great one. I can't remember the name.
Saving.
Solo Leveling.
Yes.
And Shangri-La Frontier are two of our favorites.
Yes. Which I've heard Solo... Leveling should be called Solo Edging because of the way that it ends on a cliffhanger every single episode.
Single episode.
Slade, that has been one of the biggest arguments at the end of it. You hear me lose my shit as Sky go like, calm down. I'm like, every time I just want it to end.
Well, good news on that one. The manga is actually done. If you just want to go through and read it, no, you can. I hear great things. I was telling the guys here that I'm on a bit of a anime hiatus, which I know sounds wild for me, but I've been using it to watch South Park all the way through for the first time, which I've never done before.
I've never seen it all.
Not all. No, I've never seen all of it. So I've been using this time to do that.
Have you seen the movie?
Which one?
A bigger, longer. There's only one movie. All the others are just long episodes.
Yeah. I have seen the movie. I have seen the movie, and I've seen episodes here and there, if that makes sense. But I've never watched it season 1 to now it's like season 25 or 6 or whatever it is.
So your brain must be like exploding how they've changed it. Like from the old cut hand.
Yeah. There's like one episode I caught a thing where like you could see either Matt or Trey's arm.
Oh, I love that.
In the animation for like just a frame. And I caught it out the corner of my eye because I was playing games while I was on the other monitor. And I'm like, was that a hand? And I had to like go back frame by frame and you could just see like just the forearm.
So you saw a subliminal hand and
talking about
while you're doing other things
frame by frame. Me and Sky did that in this anime you suggested. We went frame by frame a few times.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we'll have to talk about that. I think it's episode 3, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember just got a timestamp and a message about it.
Oh yeah, it stood out so much.
All right, so we're gonna talk about My Dress Up Darling today. And we're going to go through it episode by episode. Just a little quick thoughts, what we think about the characters, how much we like them. But My Dress Up Darling, it starts off in the first episode. We are introduced to Wakana Gojo, or we're just going to call him Gojo for the episode. We could say this is like a stereotypical loner guy. He doesn't really have any siblings. He is being raised by his grandfather who makes Hina dolls. If you're not aware what a Hina doll is, it's like a traditional Japanese doll with the white painted face, and I mean like white, elaborately done makeup and outfits. They're very beautiful, and he's learning how to become one of those while he is a high school student. He ends up meeting Marine Kitagawa, who is like Queen Bee, most popular girl at school, extra pretty, and their shenanigans are to be had when she finds out that he knows how to make clothes and she would like to get into cosplay. Guys, what do we think about episode 1?
Oh gosh, what did I write down? I think first impressions was fan service.
I don't know how you two are going to get along with fan service in this. I didn't think about it till I was rewatching it, and I was rewatching it with my girlfriend, and I'm like, I didn't realize how much fan service was in this when we started.
I took down little tally marks every time I noted it. I'll tell you the count at the end.
Half my notes are just fan service in capitals when it comes up, just so I can rub it into you like what you made us watch.
So what do we think of the first episode beyond fan service?
First impression, animation. I really enjoy the quality of the animation, honestly. Like they could have gone like really just like kind of cookie cutter and not done any like side mouth and like the rest of the face doesn't actually move when the mouth moves. Mm-hmm. But no, this they went all in, and oh my gosh, the quality of the eyes, you could tell that they've put
Attack on Titan level
in it.
Yes.
Yeah, they put
her outfits.
Her outfits are great. They're
phenomenal.
They're more elaborate in the manga, if I'm honest with you. They did a really good job animating them, but they're like overly drawn.
Oh, that's
manga.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Gojo, I mean, as soon as I saw him, I was like, so this is perfect example of an introvert meets an extrovert and adopts the introvert. Like you like she's really pushy, but not in like an aggressive way. Like she's forcing him to see new things, and it helps him later on, as you can see through his grandpa in later episodes, which we'll get to.
Right. Also, for the animation, this is from Square Enix, by the way.
You spotted that.
But video games.
I'd argue this is the best thing Square Enix has ever done. So,
wow, that's a hot take.
We'll fight on that later. Also, beyond fan service, can that be the tagline for this episode? I think that's
hilarious.
Sure, go ahead. Beyond fan service. I noticed one thing in the intro specifically. It showed everything you basically need to know about the worlds they live in. So like him being introverted, very old world, and her being very like popular new world, like she's out there, he's inside. And then obviously at the end it meets. So it's like basically the whole plot in the intro, which I love. I also love how they didn't overly explain the backstories. So you know he's being raised by his grandpa and his parents are dead through a very quick scene of him praying to a picture of him. Simple, no explanation needing, expecting you to be smart enough to understand what's happened.
Yeah, I think one of the things I like about this, and you both kind of hit the nail on the head, it doesn't spend forever on his backstory. We, you know, you get everything in the first episode, but also the way y'all have noticed that Kitagawa never really pushes him beyond his own boundaries.
Right.
Like when he's experiencing new things for the first time, she's like, ooh, just try this, you know, or whatever. Not like dragging him off.
But I will note, I did write it down that she literally fell into his life. Like, as the klutz that she is, like, she just, like, was, like, running into the classroom, trips and falls, hits her head on his desk.
Yep.
Like, she fell into his life, and I love that.
All right. Y'all ready for episode two? So, after the literal falling into Gojo's life, Marin is so passionate about a game called Slippery Girls 2, which is an eroge game, which is an adult hentai game, for those of you who don't know.
Tim.
Again, whose fault is that?
Yeah, exactly. And so she wants Gojo to make her an outfit from this. This gets more into the fact that she's tried to do it on her own, and even with like a how to make cosplay for dummies, not able to do it. And you start to see more of their, like, bond and a little more of Gojo, like, should I even be talking to her? Am I dragging her down, you know, with him being, like, kind of the loser stereotype, I would say. Let's start with Jocko this time, since Sky went first in the last episode, or part.
I mean, I found this episode funny, because obviously, when she tells him, if I believe this is the episode at the end specifically that had me laughing the most, but it's just a tiny little cutscene where he's playing the game to understand it. And his grandpa just opens the door, sees what he's playing, and just accepts it. Like, that is a W grandpa. He's like, whatever, do what you want. Like, he's growing up. Like, I'm not going to
argue.
He's,
like, taking notes on it.
Yeah, he's
meanwhile,
taking...
just, like, all of the lewd sounds are happening in the background, but, like...
Like, he is... Gojo is a one-set mind. Like, he didn't realize... You notice this through the anime. When he's doing something, it's only... When he's like making the outfits or like learning stuff, like even same thing, his notes are like insane when he does his technical drawings of the outfits and stuff. But when he realizes what he's doing with the girl, like he's like, it takes him a moment to realize that he's like measuring her. And like, also, I'll say this, a swimsuit is just water underwear. Doesn't matter if you call it a swimsuit, you're still in your underwear. I don't know why in anime that's acceptable. And like, you know, I even at the beach, I'm like, this is just underwear. Like, we've just accepted that this is how it is.
Socially acceptable underwear. Yeah, no, I wrote this one as the fan service episode.
Right.
Because he's literally taking her measurements and they spend a lot of time on that.
Mm-hmm. Although that could be just because how nervous he was, though. I don't know if that was like the fan service-y or if that was just showing how nervous he was with a girl in his room.
Well, it's like the first girl that has ever been in his home. Like he's never had like people in his home.
Right.
But now he has a girl in a swimsuit in his bedroom.
I think it's also like a combination. Not only is it a girl in the swimsuit, but it's also the first friend to ever come over.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like a really big combination of everything.
Right.
But I also love the animation in this one.
Oh yeah. You did make a note. I believe I wrote it down. I don't know if you did, but the lighting, effectively, he's in like a shadow in a lot of scenes, and she pulls him out of the shadow in those scenes. So she's pulling him forward into the light, as you had mentioned.
Yeah, she's like backlit with the sun. He's looking up at her. He's on his knees. She's standing up. It's very subtle ways of showing that he's being pulled into the open world, showing that he's also depressed and she's super happy, like the differences in their like personality. Because I don't know how Sky, I mean, I know Sky and me watched this together and we took notes differently. I was watching for animation and like theories and stuff, and I swear Sky was doing fan service and like emotional hints. And
yeah, I did make a note here. I just drew really long and like big on the page just the word feet. it was very prominent on screen for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember writing it down and heard the strokes were long, like feet. Also, I did like the idea of the Gojo. You can see Gojo's world is old. Because even the sewing machine he uses is old. It's an antique.
Yeah. It's like the foot pedal.
One of the first ones made, it looks like. But when he uses a new one, he's shocked. But he's still good. Like, sewing machines have advanced, but his skills are usable. But it shows that, like, everything he's used to is, I mean, his clothes, his attitudes, like, what he likes. He sees himself as an outsider.
Yeah.
But really, I think he's just an old man.
So let's move to episode 3. In episode 3, the two of them, you know, after the measurements, they're starting to get a little closer and everything. And they shopping montage to go buy supplies for cosplay, which really, I don't know, you know, a lot of times anime especially will like take stuff from actual Japan and whatnot. I don't know if these kind of shops are really that prevalent there.
Yes.
Or things like that. So
I've been there. It is like that. It's a lot more subtle. But like,
I always think
Japan
it's like
is so tiny.
Right, dense. I always think it's like subtle advertising to like go to Japan. Like, hey, you want to make this? You just come on down. You know, we have all the shops.
Hey, I'm sure their industry for that is like, if you're going to make an anime about this, you better make us look good.
Right. Like, and then, so we have that. There's, you know, a little more fan service with her giving Gojo a peek while she's in like the dressing room with the stockings.
I forgot about that.
And then there's a bit in this episode. So they finish shopping for all the supplies and it really, really made me laugh where they just had ramen for dinner. They're walking back to the train station and they're talking out loud in public about Slippery Girls too.
Yep.
And they walk past this crowd and this older like office lady's like, oh, how nice it is to be young again and going on a date. And then it was either Merit or Gojo was like, I just couldn't help it. He just stood up there on stage and wouldn't quit coming. And the look of horror on everyone else's
face. Entire life.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was
which shows you, though, they're tunnel visioned when it comes to stuff like, which is a trait of people who are in cosplay and gaming and stuff.
We call
it waffling.
Yeah. I just love it that they're so enamored with each other already at this point that like the rest of the world's not around and they're not worried about anybody else.
But they're so dedicated to each other's like craft as well. And that's what I really like. I mean, even in the previous episode, like they are so dedicated and in on it that regardless of their feelings, they still want to work with each other and progress the craft. And I love that dedication between those two.
So what do you think about this episode?
This is the ultimate episode, by the way. Don't forget which one this is.
Oh, yeah, this is the one. But it did start off with a subtle hint that a not so subtle hint of a box of tissues next to him when he woke up. And the messages of the peaks that she had sent from the dressing room were just left on red.
Yep. Yeah, she got really mad at it, and he was like, yeah,
it's
I was busy.
It's a subtle reference that Gojo is growing in many ways.
Oh my gosh. I also made a note that she joked, or rather, he made a mention that people would start thinking that they're going out, and she made a joke, well, why don't we? And I'm just like, yes, come on. Yeah, let's do it. And yeah, this is the episode. We're pretty sure that they just used some real life pictures and just kind of photoshopped them in and tried to stitch them together and did some, what do they call it? Greeking of the labels just to say that, like, hey, yeah, this is just a product and nothing specific, but like, yeah, that really threw me off. It was like a 2-second clip, wasn't it? It's like,
it's really brief. They're like looking at stuff in a shop, and the shop is definitely a real world photo, and they have just stuck them on it.
They blurred it and cartoonized it a little bit just so it looks like it's drawn, but it was enough that Sky made me stop and go back because it just took you out. Right. And then from then on, we were like hawks on a dead baby deer, just peering into its soul, going, where are the Photoshop cuts? And we were checking. We worked out that was 5 Photoshops put together to make that scene. Like,
taking notes of shadows. I mean, we had it on screen for like 10 minutes.
Shadow. We must have discussed that more than anything else in this series. Like, because it was so... We were like, no, that's not a cartoon. That's clearly a photograph. The shadows don't make sense at all. Like when Dragon Ball Z, they blow up a rock and you know exactly which rock is going to explode.
Yep.
Like, it takes you out a little bit because the lighting's off. It's like when you can tell an AI face. It's just something your brain can see.
Yeah, something is off about it. All right.
Although I do say the episode is still funny. I mean, that was what, 0.1 seconds out of the whole thing. Like,
right, and I gotta say, I didn't note any other animation like notes like that one other than just this specific episode. But I did like that this did set up for the backstory, the word beautiful and what that means to him.
Yes.
I did make a note of that.
Yeah. The biggest note I've got here is fan service in capitals. And then after that, I've got both characters opening up more and sharing about their hobbies and lives. Which, just like you say, casual conversation that to them, to everyone else, seems like they're like, what are they talking about? What did you say out loud?
And it also establishes the like her genuine appreciation for him, because her interests in like video games have also been shut down in the past, where he's basically felt like he's just a social pariah.
Right.
And the fact that he makes Hina dolls and has just never been able to open up about that. And that they can talk about their interests and, as you said, waffle on about them and feel comfortable enough with each other to do that. That kind of hit home that at the end of the episode for me. That was a moment.
Did anyone mention the flashbacks to him being yelled at by that young girl?
Oh, no, we did not.
I was going to say, because that seems to be what set Gojo on his path of like being an introvert, not talking about his hobbies. You don't really get much explanation other than that. It's just like, you don't need more than what happens in that scene to know why he's hurt. And like,
no one's ever told him anything different. Nobody else his age is doing So it just adds on to that like isolationist of himself,
which I found funny or a bit like odd in the when he does tours to his shop. So he meets people who find it interesting,
but they're usually like older people or tourists. Yeah, like, you know, it's not it wouldn't be like, I can't go to, you know, the shop down the street and see somebody wearing a Hina dolls are awesome t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, can we make that t-shirt? Tim would wear that t-shirt.
He would wear that t-shirt.
No, it'd have to be a Hina doll and say, like, suffering is almost perfect. Like, that's what you'd have to have on it.
So let's head over to episode 4, where after buying the stuff, Gojo realizes that he has 2 weeks to make the cosplay. Not only does he have those 2 weeks, his granddad gets hurt. Gramps, as we call him. Gramps gets hurt. I already see Pete laughing, so I'm gonna let him explain why.
It's fantastic. It's so good. It's the stupidest reason. He literally falls.
So he gets hurt. So not only is now Gojo in charge of the shop while his granddad is gone, he's working on this. And guess what else? It's midterms. So he's trying to balance all of this while making the cosplay.
Again, he fell, but why did he fall slide? It wasn't just like he fell for no reason. Why did Grandpa fall? Oh, that's right. Gojo accidentally put suspenders out for girl on the floor, which was obviously the cosplay materials.
Yeah.
But the Grandpa, this is the only time Grandpa doesn't ask or accept it. He literally falls with shock and hurts himself.
They just were like stockings. They were stockings that he came back with. Like
that's right.
Yeah.
It's like just the Lacey trope of falling over, and he actually gets hurt and gets sent to the hospital and has to stay there.
There are consequences to falling.
They were like, but they're not just stock. They're like the sexy Lacey stockings, is what they are. And he sees those, and he's like, and you know, falls over and hurts himself.
I've just had a thought. Now, the grandpa of the last episode walked in. He was playing that game with the sexy things. Now he sees the stockings. Do you think he fell because he thought, oh, God, it's not that he's into it. He's into the clothes.
he might have thought maybe it was going too far. There's a nice little thing in the English dub. I don't remember if it was in the Japanese dub on that, by the way, where he catches Gojo, you know, watching it and taking notes. And there's like he goes, well, he is about that age. You know, and then he also says, so diligent, taking notes, you know.
It was in that.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. But let's talk about this episode where Gojo is stressing himself out, stressing me out, watching him stress out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the darkness in his eyes.
Yeah, and his commitment to just getting everything done, to making sure that everybody else is happy, putting people before him.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that's a flaw of his? Because now he wants to not fail his friends and family. Like he's even if it pushes him to the point of pure exhaustion.
Right. Well, like the other problem I would say is that he just doesn't know how to say no. Like you see that in the first episode when the guys leave him behind to clean the classroom by himself.
Yeah, but do you think that's because he doesn't talk to people already? Like he doesn't know how to say it.
That's what I think. Yeah, I think it's just his lack of social skills is how that came about.
Mm.
Which is funny, though, because if it wasn't for those lack of social skills, he wouldn't have met and done the stuff for Kitagawa, which is kind of weird. Like, it's a double-edged sword almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was also part of that. I made a note of what Gramps had said, that the reason he's working so hard, it said, because you want to see someone happy, you can keep going. And when he felt like he was in his darkest point in those weeks that he was working on the cosplay, going through midterms and making sure that his grandpa was okay, he hit a really, really low point. And that quote came back in the middle of the episode, and he pushed forward through the lack of sleep, through, you know, having to study for midterms. And yeah, that was
funny because like
she means a lot to him.
Yep.
It's funny that just a simple lack of communication between friends built the whole thing. Because if she had said, there's a cosplay thing coming up in 2 weeks that I'd like to do, but I don't need to.
everything wouldn't have been solved.
All of this is, again, we've said this in everything, lack of communication causes stupid things to happen in anime.
Or if he had just said, hey, my grandfather's in the hospital, we have midterms, I can't do it.
Yeah, like, it's like...
At the end, she ends up breaking down and like crying over it, and she's so upset with herself for like not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Though we do get the payoff of her wearing it for the first time.
Yes, we get the payoff of Marin wearing the outfit from Slippery Girls 2.
Did you have to say the next?
you had to put it like that. We got the payoff.
Yeah, the payoff.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about episode 5, since we're on that anyway, where finally we get to see the Shizuku-tan cosplay. Marina is so excited she can't even pose for a photo without a stupid grin on her face, which I thought was adorable and hilarious.
Yeah,
she's overwhelmed and so excited. And they go straight to a cosplay event for photos, where obviously it's the best boob bag at the event.
That's the name of the episode.
The last thing we need to talk about, because it was mentioned earlier about how Gojo never uses the word beautiful unless it comes from the heart. He's dozing and falling asleep on the train, and he tells her that she's beautiful. And she doesn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle it.
I cried.
Would you say that? Yeah, yeah. Would you say that was also the part where she starts to really see him as a partner instead of a friend?
Yes.
Because that, like, she knows the history, as you said. So, like, that would have been... Because I've always thought she was teasing him before. But mm-hmm. after this, it's less teasing to be funny and teasing, like, notice, flirty. After this episode specific. Mm-hmm. Although, the cosplay convention, which is, like, obviously... I haven't been to a Japanese cosplay except for Japan Expo in France, which I'm not going to... The French. like, the way English and American... we do events to theirs is a little different. It's a lot more like you wouldn't see a lot of people standing out in that kind of heat wearing those outfits.
Nah.
Which does, they do hit those points. Like, she gets super hot, she gets like a heat stroke, but it does show her like character and how happy she is to be it when she goes back to find that person mm-hmm. to get the photo with her. Like, she didn't get a chance because she was like, thought she lost a friend and all this. But I've seen people in conventions do that. Like,
yeah.
You rarely see some people, like, some people act like you have to have everything down for a cosplay to be perfect. And it does come up later on, which I hope we can talk about like who should cosplay what and what you can cosplay. But if you look in the background in some of the shots, you'll see some people in just barely, like, you know, just some cat ears and stuff doing poses and stuff. And people are like clapping, like loving it. And I'm like, that also happens. Like, I was at one convention where a guy had, and I kid you not, a 7-foot guy, kid's Darth Vader mask and a bin bag and a kid's sword, and he must have been the happiest person I've ever seen in my life. He was running around. It must have been his first convention, but he was finding other Jedi. He was taking photos. He was loving it. And me and my friend looked at him and went, "Hey, he's living his best life." Like, I mean, there's a guy though who spent $10,000 on an outfit, and he looks at him and he's going, he looked at him. He's like, "You look great." He actually told the guy he looked great, and the guy was like, "Boba Fett just said I look great." I was like, living his best life, man. Yeah. This is awesome. Like,
and that's the whole fun, and that's what we see in this episode, is just that. You know, you see cosplays from all different ranges. There's a good little nod in this to, you ever watch Torimiya?
Oh, okay.
Torimiya.
Is there an English one?
That's just the title of it.
Wondering if it's like a different name.
No, it should be the same. It's a another slice of life by the same like studio. I think it's Cloverworks / Square Enix doing this, but it's another animation studio. Like, in the group of cosplayers, you'll see the main characters.
Oh, that's why they were focusing on a few of those. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a couple little like other anime drops, which is really cool.
That's quite clever, actually, because if you did an episode where they see them in the background, then you've got cross universes. Yeah. People can stop buying stuff for like the collabs and stuff. That's how animes make their money.
The notes I made, that like she's smiling at him from like across the way. She panicked when she thought that he was just gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so much happiness when she found him, you know, just because like both A, she likes him, and B, she was, you know, nearing heat stroke. But I called this another fan service episode because I wrote down a sweaty boob scene.
he's wiping her off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the end of the episode on the train, yeah, I cried.
Yeah.
What about the bit before that, though, when she's taking the photo and the wind comes up and takes the dress off? The woman just clicks the photo straight away without question. And she goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Oh, she even says, "I'll delete that." She goes, "I think I wasn't looking at that." She doesn't care that she had a photo taken of her undergarments. She's just like, I wasn't looking when you took the photo. And even Gojo's like, "Is that what she cares about? Seriously?"
Let's get into episode 6. Marin and Gojo, or I guess Kitagawa and Gojo, I need to keep the names straight so everybody knows who we're talking about. After the first successful cosplay event, they go back to the Gojo residence. She gets to meet Gramps, finally. So now it doesn't seem like that's what Gojo was buying those stockings for, and Gramps is kind of putting two and two together. We also learn about how bad Kitagawa has been eating for a while. There's also a certain someone who comes to Gojo Dolls after seeing the photos of Kitagawa's cosplay. Guys, what do we think about this episode?
She's falling for him. That was the first note. She,
yeah.
Yeah. Is this the first episode that she used the word wuv?
Yeah.
Wuv. Yeah, wuv.
Yeah. It, in English, Amelie is the voice actress for Kitagawa. I don't know if y'all know who she is. VTuber. She's did the vocals for One Piece Red in English.
Oh, she's also a
singer.
God.
Yeah, she's excellent voice actress. But her doing the little Marin freakout or Kitagawa freakout. I'm sorry, I keep alternating names. Yeah. But it's adorable in both English and Japanese when she's ever there going wuv wuv wuv.
I loved the animation for the eyes when she's like big, a really big and like round black like teary eyed when she's realizing it. And also like the grandpa like talking about the clothes with him about it.
Yeah.
Like that's when she starts to realize, and she's like, oh crap. It was like it's funny, like well, I mean, the food situation is funny as well. Like, because when she said, all I eat is this, and I kind of went, well, that's kind of all I eat. Well, why is this so bad? Maiden? I eat fried rice all the time. What's wrong with that?
the character note that I made for Kitagawa is that she eats in basically every scene she's in. She eats so much, and she's so obsessed with food.
And then again, another situation where communication would have stopped a classic manga trope from not happening. Knocking on a door and introducing yourself to someone when you know someone's in a room and you know that's the bathroom would have stopped another scene from happening.
Right. Gramps did say that someone was using the bathroom as like taking a shower, and yet he barges in anyway.
Do you think Gojo just doesn't know any better because he doesn't have like friends, or he's just used to him and Gramps? I wonder if it's just like a unconscious, you know, maybe. Like if his granddad was in there, he would just poke his head and be like, hey, I'm going, you know, I'm doing, you know, or something.
But
like
he seemed like he was worried it was someone trying to pull the wool over grandpa's eyes, because he doesn't have any friends and the grandpa doesn't know that. So the grandpa's really hopeful and he's like, oh god, we're being robbed. But you would never just walk into a bathroom without knocking. Even in my own, I only live with one other person, and I knock just in case.
Right.
But he gets blackmailed into cosplay.
Or he could he could be so worried.
Still gets
he could be so worried about who it is, he just went in on instinct, you know what I mean?
True. I understand it's coming from a place of, like, fear for that place he lives, for his grams and all that, and, like, obviously someone might be trying to trick him, but at the same time, classic anime trope. That happens a few different times tropes come up in this anime. They don't shy away from them.
So we can get into who it is. They meet a cosplay idol that we haven't talked about, known as Juju. Or actually, the real name is...
Sajina
Shinjui? I think that's how you say that correctly.
Inui, last name?
Shinjui.
Shinju is the younger sister. Sajina is the older sister, as the trope, she is very small.
She's very small and almost child size.
Again, another anime trope.
Anime trope that the younger sister is at. We'll get into the younger sister later, but that's the older sister. And she blackmails Gojo into making a outfit for her from Flower Girl Blaze, another anime about, you know, magical girls that exist inside of this anime. We'll get to watch some anime in an anime. It's Animeception after a while.
It's fantastic.
I didn't even think about that. We actually watched an anime in an anime. Oh god.
Yeah.
It just leans really hard on like the really big eyes and just like the action tropes and magical girl stuff. Like
there's also a bit where I'm just gonna call her Sajina. So there's a bit where Sajina was like, sorry, I didn't mean to do this to your boyfriend. And Gojo has the, like, oh, no, not my girlfriend, you know, panic thing. And Kitagawa is all like, oh, are you, am I not? And it's a really cute thing between them. We also get in this episode Gojo going to Kitagawa's home so he can borrow some DVDs.
Oh, yeah, they watch it, don't they?
Oh,
guys, what else did we think?
Funny episode. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of tropes being like, you know, so obvious. Like, I suppose it's because we've watched anime for so long, it's just natural to us to go, oh. like if this was like cinema reviews, it'd be like that ding coming up trope ding, yeah, like narration.
We should make a drinking game for tropes.
Oh god, no, we'd be dead. I do like the fact that when Gojo first meets Shinjuro, you say. Sorry, I cannot say her name.
Shinjui.
Shinjui. He shows her the dolls, thinking she's just a customer.
Yes.
And she actually shows interest, and then halfway through, she's like, "I'm not here for this. What are you talking about? Why am I looking at this?" And of course, Gojo has no idea why she's there. Like, but I do like the fact she shows interest. She also hates the idea of
group cosplay.
Kitagawa, first, but then she starts to realize that they share the same kind of interest. In the end, she's like, "Damn it, I actually like this kind of cosplay girl." Like, she's like, she has the same ideas as me. She understands what it means to cosplay. Which I do state that their version of cosplay is a little bit, what do they call it? Where they block the door for other people.
Gatekeeping.
It's like, well, you don't need to be certain sizes, weight, color to put the cosplay. Just cosplay. That's been a big thing.
I would say Shinjui is a very gatekeeper when it comes to cosplay, because she refers to Kitagawa as like, oh, she's just one of those bitches that wants to like dress up at things, like nearly the exact quote. And so it's very, she's showing a different size of the cosplay community, the gatekeepy, you know.
Yeah. And I've seen both sides working Comic Con so many times. I'm like, I'm a big guy, and I say I would never try and cosplay a smaller character because that makes no sense.
Right.
Because I'm not muscly. I'm not like, if I try to cosplay like
a bleach character, that's a personal choice for yourself. That's not you saying, oh, you're a big dude, you can't do this.
But other people do. And it's like, if they want to do it, it's up to them. Like I say, this is why I don't agree with their like values when it comes to cosplaying. Because they're both saying, oh, you need to look like the character to do it. I'm like, it's a very close-minded way of thinking about an open-minded hobby. Yeah. Like,
but they're more interested in being more purist to the original content, and they want to be able to portray them as accurately as possible.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a fine line between stopping other people from enjoying something and then being as accurate as possible to the source material.
I don't think Kitagawa's the kind to like stop somebody. I think she just wants to be as accurate to the source. Like, that's how she wants to do it.
Yeah. She's more, she wants to do it for her, as in she wants to look like this.
Mm-hmm. Become the character.
But then you find that the other one is more like, Inui's like the younger sister's more like, no, you have to be. I would never cosplay a tall character. I'm not tall.
Right.
And she just kind of hit on that, like, oh, I could never do it because I'm not tall kind of thing, which I think she feels a little bit jealous.
Or her body's not that size. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So I think she gatekeeps out of that, essentially. Scott, do you have any other thoughts on this one?
What, episode 6?
7.
Oh, episode 7. Oh, wow. Okay.
That was 6. This is episode 7 now.
No, we're talking about episode 7 now.
Oh, heck.
Oh, okay. Shit, we jumped.
She cooks for him.
Oh, the omu rice.
God, the cooking.
She called it, she tried to call it omu rice, but it was, he said that he liked her fried rice.
Which didn't she write, "I'm sorry" on it?
Yeah, she wanted to write love, and she's over there pretending to be a little housewife and everything. Uh-huh. And there's, a whole bit where she thinks Gojo's worried because she doesn't have her contacts in to give her those pink eyes that she has instead of the brown ones.
It's not what he was worried about, because she just came out in her pajamas and things were showing.
It didn't have a bra on or anything, and that's what he was panicked about.
Because he didn't want to take measurements of those.
Is this also the one with the cosplayer girl? It also starts to have kind of like, not feelings,
Not yet. We're almost there.
They do meet the younger sister, though. They do meet Shinju.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. They meet in this one.
Right.
Which, have you noticed? I don't know if you noticed, they both share, the sisters share a trait when they're scared or nervous.
Yes.
They both grab the hair and like, as like a thing. But also, Kitagawa did it as well when she was figuring out that she was embarrassed because she liked Gojo. If you look in that scene, she's doing it as well. They all seem to share this stress. I don't know if that's a thing in Japan where they hold their hair down when they're embarrassed.
It's just this anime trope of being nervous. Yeah, that but I did make a note of Kitagawa's bedroom All of the ball scrolls, God. Body pillows. There was not an inch of space that was not used up on that wall.
I mean, Slade, before you move the poster wall, I mean, yeah. Quick. I mean, yeah, she, there's... you can tell she has a hobby and she loves that hobby.
Right. Yeah. Right. Let's head off to episode 8. We meet the Inui sisters. So I'm going to get these names so wrong. We're just going to say Juju for the older sister because that's her cosplay name. I think that'd be easier.
Yes.
And then let's do Shinju for the younger sister. We'll just use her proper name. Okay. So they meet. There's this lovely little scene in a restaurant where they're talking. Marin asks the little sister, how big are you? Now, this is another trope that we're talking about, mm-hmm. where the younger sister is not only taller, but also bustier. Before you think about so. Before you think about this, you pervert, she was just asking Shinju how tall she was. To horny jail, if you were thinking something else.
So Goju's got to go to horny jail, eh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Goju has to go to horny jail. He needs it. He needs it. So... they are really shocked about Shinju's difference to Juju. And they talk about cameras a lot, and then they suggest checking out an abandoned hospital to use for the group cosplay. But we quickly find out that Juju is scared of said abandoned hospital. This is also where you find out that both sisters are attending like an all-girls school. So Juju's never really interacted with the boy, and this is where, Pete, you were asking about, she kind of like has a thing for Goju because she like he holds her hand, and I guess that's the first time a boy's ever touched her. Mm-hmm. And she like faints and passes out.
Yeah, he was trying to help her off of the ground because she was literally in the fetal position just shaking because she was scared being in an abandoned hospital.
Right.
He tries to help her up and then she passes out because he touched her hand.
Well, he, the reason he grabs the hand though isn't that because she,
well, she was falling down the stairs.
No, doesn't she make him think of his past?
Oh yes,
where she's talking about when she first wore cosplay, and it's like too big, and it doesn't make. But she realized that she could be what she wanted to be, and then that got him thinking about when he first learned how to do Ina dolls.
That's right.
And then he grabs her hand to say thank you for like I will help you. Thank you for reminding me of a beautiful memory, kind of thing. And that's when she realizes, and that's when she falls down the stairs because she passes out because he's holding her hand. So not only does he try to help her up, but then hold her, but he also causes the accident to begin with.
That's right. Yeah, I wrote down experience love at first sight. It was when Goju saw the Hina doll for the first time. Mm. And that was when Juju saw the cosplay outfit that Goju had made for the first time. That was the moment that they shared together. Okay.
What's it? When they say photo studio, it's not really a studio, is it? But what they mean is location. Mm-hmm. Like it's an abandoned hospital that people rent out for people to use.
Yeah,
but it's not like a studio.
Is that a studio?
No, I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting studio. Like some weird ass studio set up inside of a hospital, not just an abandoned property that people can use. I was very.
No, they just went.
But this was also the obligatory beach episode. Don't forget.
Oh, yes, it
that
is.
That was the end of the episode.
It is the beach episode, which you have to have a beach episode, so everybody of take course. A shot. That's what we decided on. Now, I do quite like this beach episode just because of it really shows you how Goju really hasn't done much when he's like, this is my first time going to the beach. You live in a town like this and you've never been to the beach?
Yeah. Well, it shows that he literally has done nothing but school, home, Hina doll.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the Gramps is. When he's talking to the auntie or his daughter, mm-hmm. who picks him up from the hospital, he's like, you know, he doesn't really go out, and he's like, we've tried getting into other things. he's getting good at Hina dolls. He should be out more. He's young.
Yeah, and he's actually excited to go out and do more stuff with Kitagawa.
Yeah,
they did decide to travel together at the end of this episode.
Yes,
and to experience the things that he hasn't yet.
Yeah,
that's so exciting, and I loved the scene at the end of this episode. She took a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
is they were discussing lighting in at the beginning of the episode, talking about backlighting, because Shinju, the younger sister, is really good at photography and has like practiced with the camera and practiced with lighting work and practiced with using software to edit the photos, and gave Kitagawa some pointers. And she noticed that the lighting was great at the beach and took just a picture that she just loves.
Also, the most perfect swoop by an eagle I've ever seen in any life or anime. That it took the entire burger and fries midair. That is insane. like that was locked in. So that bird hasn't eaten in years. It would have taken Kitagawa if it had the chance.
Oh yeah, bird really swooped in. Let's talk about episode 9. Episode 9 is with both outfits for Black Lobelia and Black Lily completed. Kitagawa and Juju are trying on their outfits for the first time, and they're really excited. They're more excited about the upcoming photo shoot they're going to do. But then there's a surprise visitor.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This episode, make a note that the name of this episode is A Lot Happened After I Saw That Photo.
Yep.
And the first scene in that episode is another box of tissues. Tissues happened.
Yeah. So this, what it is, no, I think this is when Marin was trying on the swimsuit to use for the undergarment for the outfit.
Yes.
And sent it to Gojo, and he left her on red.
That's that episode. I guess it's happened multiple times. I forget what the first one was, but that was definitely what happened in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of references to the one man show, if one might say. The episode's good though. It shows like craft skills from all the parties involved, like not just Gojo's skills, but like Kitagawa making the black diamond for her chest and how fun she's enjoying doing it. Mm-hmm. Makeup skills. It also shows gender play.
Mm-hmm.
First time in the episode.
Yes.
Our special guest.
Yeah. So the special guest is the little sister. Gojo makes a cosplay for her on a budget, by the way, which I think is pretty cool to show that it doesn't have to be super expensive for you to get into. The big thing in this episode, though, is the problem of the little sister's chest.
Yeah.
And having to hide that, Gojo nearly gets JFK'd by a button that goes flying.
It beds in the wall.
Yeah.
JFK'd. Oh my God. Never heard that before.
I mean, it's accurate.
And I really love Gojo's face in a lot of the things, because the younger sister's like, I'm too fat. And he's like, yep, nope, not the problem. You know, he's trying to be as respectful as possible. Has no idea what to say, though, which I think's excellent and really funny.
But Gojo's out here just making dreams come true. She is happy with the result.
So happy. And she's so worried because I guess she has seen like how her older sister gatekeeps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole thing about how she's so worried about it. And then when she shows up to the group photo shoot, her older sister Juju has nothing but happiness and pride for her little sister, looking so amazing and is so ecstatic. And Kitagawa, of course, is just fangirling left, right, and center, mm-hmm. bouncing up and down. I think it's a good episode. Show that, you know, everybody can do it. You can what do they call it? Crossplay, where people do like or gender bent cosplay. Yeah, they have like a name for it in the anime. I think it's called like cross cosplay or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard it as you like a gender play or cosplay and stuff like that, where people change. I mean, it's common. Like I've seen it a lot at comic cons and stuff. And again, it just shows you can do, you know, you can do anything you want, really. I mean, I've seen people show up as 9-foot dinosaurs to literally a guy showed up as a Muppet once. So I mean, do what you want. People love it.
We have any other thoughts on episode 9 here?
It was adorable watching the sister get to be with them. Like Gojo's reaction to when they're all like kind of like taking the photo together, and he's just in the background smiling, just like, I'm done. Like it's finished. like the costumes. Although I did notice, we forgot to mention at the end you know when he made the first cosplay? Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot from the game, but I'm not going to mention
Slippery Girls too.
Damn it. he thought it was going to be the end of like cosplay. Like he got sad. I forgot we've got to mention that. But when she's like, oh, I can't wait to do my next favorite one, he sees that he gets super happy.
Yeah.
When she says she has more than one. Yeah, he's like, oh, you need me more. Like, I'll do more. But again, really I thought this was going to be like, I was getting a little worried that this was going to be a harem type anime when you suggested that. But in this episode, when she's face to face with her for the photo, or it's the next one, it's coming up. When the young one, Juju, and Kitagawa in a photo together, she grabs her face. Mm-hmm. She starts to have like a little bit of a thing for Kitagawa.
Yeah.
So Juju's kind of like, whoa, what's going on? Like, I think that's really entertaining because I was a little worried, like, oh, it's a typical harem. But this one's more just like, no, this is just like, obviously the main two, but like they're just enjoying themselves and like
they're
all out of their comfort zones.
I'm going to keep in mind that you want to watch a harem, by the way.
I've watched anime since the 90s, man. I've seen harems. Hey, Sky, which ones are the ones we've been watching lately at all harem? Like we've watched so many isekais, it just never ends.
Yeah.
So before we get distracted, we're almost we have 3 episodes left to talk about. Let's head on to episode 10. You know, we get done with the photo shoot. Gojo and Kitagawa, they're enjoying summer vacation, and then Kitagawa wants to cosplay a character from a fighting game called Veronica. A fun fact, that's from Guilty Gear Strive. Or it's one of the Guilty Gears.
I was wondering if that's what that was from. I was like,
yep.
Tim would know this. So ask him.
I sent it to him. He told me all about the character, and then I forgot because it's a fighting game, and my brain turns off. but yeah, it's from that, and the outfit is really revealing. It's basically a bandage across the bust and one across the bottom half. The character of white hair and spiky teeth. And what's fun, I think, in this episode is you find Kitagawa's respect for Gojo when he's like, this one's a little too revealing. You're going to have to do this at home. He's like, I just can't do this with you. And
although, she got sad at first because she thought he was
She
dumb.
Thought that he was going to say, like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. But it was more so him being like, I don't want to be there for that one because of how revealing the outfit is.
Yeah, I love that she teased that out of him rather than just leaving the conversation at that, because I could totally have seen just the trope of nope, I don't want to do it anymore, and that's where but no, she teased it out of him. They actually talked about it and got past it in the moment,
and it ends with the best scene as well, where she goes up and teases him with a picture. He's like, I'll send you a picture
of it. Yeah, and he turned it pink red. This also has the shopping montage, but this time for Gojo to get him some new outfits instead of his traditional ones. And Kitagawa has no sense of fashion unless she really, really likes Guy Fieri.
I always had to say that?
Yeah.
The flame jacket.
The flame jacket. Just ridiculous.
Yeah. And I like that the guy in the store is like, there's no way this loser is with her.
No way. I was saying to Sky, the outfit she chose, like, it was like watching the 80s thrown up on someone. Like, I don't know why they went to this store. I said this guy in like, he would look way better in like, because he acts older, obviously, because of like his hobby stuff. Just get him either traditional Japanese clothes but are different, or get him like a polo neck and a jumper, and boom, you're done. Like, men's clothes aren't hard. Plain colors.
Yep. Simple. Not hard to do.
But wasn't this also the one where she's in the bathroom, but he doesn't walk in on her?
Yes.
It's just like, because he knows she's in there and who's in there kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But she tells him, oh, you're going to sneak a peek? Uh-huh. Teases him again. And he's like, sits there angrily like, no.
No box of tissues that time.
Nope.
Sky, do you have any other thoughts on this episode?
She was basically love drunk shopping with him.
She loves him. She said that every single outfit.
You love that word.
She kept saying it. But like literally every single episode, she's like, he's so cute.
Yeah. So if we're from there, let's head off to episode 11, which introduces us to them going to a manga cafe. And
I love Gojo, the name of the manga they talk about in this one.
Gojo learns about a succubus from the Slice of Life series, Suck IDK. I hope our audience is smart enough to figure that out. Now then, Kitagawa wants to cosplay as that, but this is drawn in a chibi style where the outfits are not very detailed or anything like that. There's no good 360 shot. So it kind of challenges Gojo in a way to make this outfit. And he makes it, and they go to a studio that's also not a studio. This is two studios we've been to that are not studios. This is a love hotel.
Hey, Slade, what's a love hotel? And,
when two people love each other very much.
they pay someone else money. Yes, carry on.
they pay money to a building to go into and, to go have
experiment.
Sex. So they go there for this photo shoot, and this near the end of the episode, there's a bit where he's on his back to take the photos, and she is sitting on him to basically do a pose for this photo shoot, and somebody bumps something. It turns the lights off. They hear people from the room next door doing what love hotels are really meant for, and there's a very awkward moment where little Gojo met a different part of Kiyotagawa.
Some funny scenes in this. Also, another trope, the ringing of a phone or someone walking in on someone kissing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. Like, in, obviously, you know, everyone's there on the edge of their seat going, it's going to happen! But also, some of the funniest, like, they do some good clips, like, after the big scene in the love hotel, like, you've got Kitagawa looking all embarrassed when another couple walk by, and the lady's like, oh, teenagers, you know, they must be enjoying their summer. And it cuts to Gojo. His eyes are bloodshot red, and he looks terrified about what just happened. Like, she's all embarrassed, but he's just like, the world has ended. I've noticed that it happens a few times in this, where, like, it cuts to one of the characters with a different expression to the other one completely. Gojo always seems to be a bit more like the dark eyes, purple like lines, terrified.
Just sheer terror.
Well, it's all new experiences to him, so I mean, I think everything's a bit scary to him.
That's fair. That's fair. I did like that the his creativity in making the outfit for her, though, because it was very much a chibi style manga that he was trying to make for Kitagawa. Effectively, he needed to improvise outfit details, and he added buttons, he added ruffles, he added, like, because, like, the character didn't have, like, or rather, the character had such long hair in the manga that he had to just improvise the entire backside. And Kitagawa just absolutely fell in love with the outfit, and let him know as well that there's a lot of improvisation, because sometimes you don't get detail, or it's just interpretation. Or there's actually differences in between scenes, or actual like outfits that characters wear. Sometimes it changes.
Right.
But again, why a love hotel and not just a hotel?
Well, she said
it's cheaper.
Yeah, she was looking through listings of places that had large beds for this particular manga, because it was a succubus that tried. It's basically the premise is the succubus lives with a mangaka, right?
Yeah,
and just tries to get him to sleep.
And everything, like, takes place in the bedroom, obviously, because of what it is.
He's trying to sleep, and she's,
Well, no, he's supposed to sleep, but he never does, and she just tries to get him to go to sleep all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they read the manga, like, in the anime of that thing, I was like, if this isn't already a manga, this should be, because it was cute, adorable, and it's exactly what it's like Snoopy, but
like, yeah, so little four panel comics that just had like little cute endings, but it was just a mangaka and a succubus.
Yeah.
This was like the super, like, they're actually, like, I think they both realize they are, like, more than just friends. Yeah. The end of this episode, again, the one man show, but you see it this time. You see him pumping his head.
But yeah, no, that was definitely happening with the other end as well.
Yep. So saying let's her name go from
over
there.
And over again.
Let's talk about episode 12.
You made us watch this.
I did. Episode 12 is the summer vacation episode. We also find out Kitagawa didn't do her summer homework, so sends an SOS over to Gojo to give her a hand. They do that, then they go to the fireworks festival. We have another trope here of the fireworks festival. This is the penultimate final episode. They go to that. Man, let me tell you something. Those fireworks in this, beautiful, stunning. I mean, that's that animation was beautiful.
You
and
can
then
see where the budget was for that one scene with the Photoshop.
It went. Yeah. It went to the fireworks episode, which is fine. I'm okay with it. But there's a whole bit where it's just the two of them staring at each other. The fireworks light up Kitagawa. And she is so pretty in that scene. Gojo staring at her. You can tell how much she loves him. Or he loves her. And then she's looking at him and she just goes, "Nyeh," and sticks her tongue out at him. And he's never seen anybody with a blue tongue from a slushie before, I guess. And he freaks out, ruining the whole moment.
I don't know.
Ruins
think
the whole moment.
I wasn't angry at that bit at all. It was the ending that annoyed me, but that was okay. Brilliant.
We'll get to the ending in a bit.
Brilliant. Yeah. That had me laughing out loud. I was like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Genius.
It's because it takes away the fireworks and everything from behind her, and it's just her on a black screen.
It's bleh.
Just, yeah.
Bleh.
And, you know, they go to all the food stalls. She wants to eat everything because, again, that's another anime trope is just a girl who loves
eating.
To eat. Yeah.
Always eating.
Yeah. And then I want to go ahead. Let's not talk about what happens at the very end, which I know y'all want to. So let's talk about anything else in that episode before we talk about the very end of the episode.
I was just going to say, I found it interesting that the episode started that he received a text from her that just said, "Help me."
Mm-hmm.
And then the beginning intro starts. No, she just needed help with homework.
Yep.
It wasn't anything that was just crazy. Nope. Oh yeah, movie date.
Yeah.
Yeah, movie date. Oh my gosh. Yeah, scary movie. Yeah, he was completely unfazed and she was terrified.
Oh,
it was obvious that she was terrified.
That was 100% the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
Yes.
That's 100% what that
was. Yes.
It's like they just put the ending of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in an anime.
Yeah. There's a and he's just enamored by like the outfits and how they made it, because this is now his new obsession is making outfits. And she's like, "I don't want to watch that again." He's like, "Yeah, but how did they do this with the arm dangling off?" And she is just over
in
it. There's a
position, just, "No, can't do that. No."
Yeah.
This was the same episode with the swimming pool.
Yes.
Yes.
Where she can't
swim. Which, again,
swim.
A trope. Like, yeah. A swimming pool episode. But yeah. she can't swim.
Yeah, yep. She dips a toe in. And then just
and
fall.
Just
falls
in.
Yep.
He has to save her.
I don't think she just fell in. I think she did that on purpose.
But she can't swim. She wasn't coming up. The bubbles were stopping.
I like how Gojo waited for those bubbles to stop, but he was just like, "Huh?" It was a very entertaining episode. Like you say, fireworks. I was like, you could take that scene of the fireworks, take a still from it, and that could be a massive poster in the hotel or something.
Oh,
I can see it on the side of buses in Japan as it goes. Like, it was insane how much time must have gone into that, just that scene.
It's a wonderful scene.
I've got some notes that just says, like, the grandpa, like, he's like, you know, obviously, like, everyone's checking on if Kitagawa, like, the dad of Kitagawa does not seem very nice.
No.
Like, I understand this is, like, a trope as well, like, kids are usually left, you know, at certain ages, in high school and stuff, like, they're just left to themselves, like, parents work away, but they move away to work and leave the kids at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but at the same time, she hasn't done her homework. So, like,
yeah, right. I get him being kind of an asshole about it. Yeah. Like, yeah, no.
Do your homework, and you can go out and do things.
Yeah.
I
think she's just being dramatic, which is a...
Oh, yeah.
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 I do want to talk about the beginning of the summer festival, where she comes out in the, I believe I wrote down the yukata, the outfit that she's wearing.
Yes.
And she says explicitly, "Do you get turned on by looking at the nape of a girl's neck?" And he does not say no, but gets really flustered. And then she makes a point to show him the nape of her neck for the rest of the night. Like,
yes.
constantly.
She knows. She knows what she's doing. She knows.
Of course.
Also, she eats everything.
Yeah.
Every things.
He's got like his arms full and like bags dangling from his hands, just all over the food. This is enough for two people, right?
And there's a there's also a lovely moment where she gets like a blister on her foot from the flip flops, or I don't really know what they call them, the specific sandals.
Traditional sandals, yeah.
Yeah, and so he carries her like on his back. And it's a really wholesome moment just watching the two of them together like that. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Yeah, they it's a very nice, it's very nice scenes. The blep again is the funniest. Like, I'm literally looking at 2 years ago on Crunchyroll, and one of the top comments by Gil Heron is that tongue blep was perfect. Like, yep. And it's just got thousands of likes.
So I want to go ahead and talk about the last time we see them in the anime.
They are
on the phone
because
she watched the sequel and got scared. There's a great shot of her in the bathtub. You don't see anything but her like nose up, essentially, like she's down in the tub, and then like a drop of water falls and just scares the ever living out of her. And so she's on the phone with Gojo for a bit. He falls asleep. She knows that he's asleep, and she says, "I love you." Cuts to black.
Yeah, that's how they end it. That's how it ends. Yeah. That's how they end it.
I'm not crying.
Post credit, asleep. I love Sky. You. In silent.
Don't cry. It's okay.
So wholesome. I need more of this.
Yeah, I think you find after that ended, we both looked up when the sequel was supposed to be out. We were like, that can't be it. It can't end it like that. That's just not fair.
That's the same thing I told
my
girlfriend.
There was time now. It's not.
That's the same thing I told my girlfriend, and she came in here. I was like, "Well, if you want to know the rest, you got to go read." So she like walked into my office here and like grabbed the manga. I was like, "I got to know." Same thing happened with us watching Attack on Titan when it got. I was like, "Yeah, it's two episodes left. If you want to know the ending, you got to read it."
Like the I'm looking like right now on Crunchyroll, and it's just like second season ship hasn't sailed yet. What's going on? Where's the second season? Everyone wants it. And I looked it up. It's like, like you said, it's apparently coming out soon, isn't it? Like,
It's, I think it's next year. Should be another winter anime. So, you know, find it in the January. So that's the last report I've seen on it. But let's get some final thoughts on My Dress Up Darling. I'll tell you what, I'll take the lead on this if y'all don't mind. I picked this one as a great, like, rom-com, a little bit of slice of life. I think beyond the fan service and everything, they have such a nice, lovely, wholesome relationship that it's hard to not get invested in both of them and what they're doing. And I'd highly recommend this. I think it's a great watch. It's also, those 12 episodes fly by really quickly. It's got a really good dub if you're not a sub person. So I would recommend watching this. Sky, what about you?
I mean, it's, you know, it's got some tropes. The animation can get a little funky sometimes, but otherwise it is phenomenal. Great story. Loved the animation other than that one scene. And the voice acting was so fun. Again, getting invested in the characters for sure. And I loved that there, while there were some tropes, it did still seed itself in reality. Grams falls over, goes to the hospital. Like, And like they actually communicate, they actually support each other in their interests, and they stand up for each other as well. Even in the first meeting, she says that you can't be a floor mat, you know. And right. I love how well they work together. Honestly, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I recommend it.
Awesome. And lastly, Pete, what we think?
I think it's. It's great show, slice of life, perfect. At the ending has made me rage more than I wanted more. And anything that wants you to want more is great. Like, characters are fun. They're not overly annoying. Like, there's no load of narration about backstory about what they're thinking all the time. It's all for you to work out subtext. I love that. Like, even the extra characters are funny and cute and, like, adorable. The grandpa is super supportive, which I love. And to be honest, I would recommend it to anyone to watch. Like, at least give it a once over. Like, if you're not really into slice of life, it's something a bit different, you know? Give it a chance. Like, if you're into cosplay, it's definitely one to watch. And photography as well, because they do hit some good photography points.
Yeah, and if you continue on reading, which, you know, I have, I'm up with the current English print as of recording, they go into so much more detail about cosplaying and the photos, and a lot more detail is taken into it. Like, there's literally, like, diagram examples of, how to cut stuff. Yeah, it gets really in-depth. It's worth the read. So we have 3 out of 3 recommendation for My Dress-Up Darling, which leads...
I will note, I did make a tally count of the scenes that included fan service.
How was our fan service count?
Exactly 30.
That's 10 an episode.
You know, it's not as much as I thought it was, to be honest with you.
I may have missed some. No. I did it by scene, not individual frames. You know?
Gotcha.
It's, like I say, it's not like in your, like, it's not like, you know, you could go further with the fan service. This is more it's there. Like, I mean, obviously there's hints and stuff, but I've seen close some animes ups where it's just like, this anime has taken a swift turn down Hentai Alley. And it's still going.
Yeah. So, with that, Pete, what are we watching next month?
And you see, this is where I've got an issue, because you said 12 episodes only.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 1 of 2 in my head. Now, I have a coin here.
Okay.
And we're going to flip it.
All right.
Do you want to know the choices first, or do you just want to know?
Yeah, let's know the choices before you flip them, so our audience knows what you were thinking.
Heads is Girls and Panzer.
Oh, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Tails is Girls Last Tour.
Oh, don't.
There's a reason I chose that one, because when I said that to Slade, and Slade responded with being going, why? Why would you make me watch this? it's
really, girls, both are very, very good. Both are very good. But one is happy, up, fun time, and the other one is sad and depressing. So.
Yeah, one's like New World fun, one's post-war sad depression. All right, so go heads is Girls and Panzer, tails is Girls Last Door. I know what Slade's hoping for. Oh my god, it's Girls Last Door.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll depression wins.
Oh gosh,
we will see everybody in a month on the last Saturday to once again talk about an anime.
Yay.
We'll be talking about Girls Last Tour. I don't know about for you two. I do know that you can find that one on High Dive.
I believe I actually bought it on Amazon as well.
Okay. Yeah, for streaming services in the US at least, it is on High Dive. All right. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you later. This is where y'all are supposed to say bye.
Oh, all right. Bye.
I wasn't sure if we were doing our things at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you want
to? I didn't know if we were doing that, because you didn't. So I was just like, apparently we're not doing it.
I changed my Twitter handle and everything, so it's easier.
Like, okay. I didn't know y'all had plugs now. Shit.
Sky did a whole thing. I was just like, ah.
All right. So let's try this again. You can find me everywhere at Slade Plays Games. Except for Instagram, that's at Slade's Life. Sky, where can people find you?
If you want to find me on Twitter, I only post cute things. It is at Skylar_Bun.
Do I follow you on Twitter?
Probably not.
Skylar _. I think I found it. Okay, great. And Pete, where can everybody find you?
Pretty much UK_Jacka or Jacka Longgrass on anything. I don't post cute things. I post questions that will make you ponder your existence the rest of your life. Like, how much cheese is too much cheese?
The answer is never.
For my lactose intolerant people, I'll meet you in hell.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I am too, and I'm telling you, that's still not enough cheese.
As am I. I'll meet you down there in our lactose hell that they force us to eat every day.
Well, on that, everybody, we'll see you in lactose hell for Girls Last Tour. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.